Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 10-3 The Voice studio for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenzer. I hope you all had a good lawn weekend. It was a lawn weekend on this end as we celebrated the Easter holiday. I hope it was great for those of you who are celebrating this weekend. We are back in the saddle this morning on a Tuesday that for me at least feels like a Monday, but happy Tuesday to y'all and glad to be in studio with you. Really excited to spend what will probably be an entire hour. We're going to play it by ear, but we all kind of know where it's going to go. We'll be together the whole hour with Mayor Tom Murphy, the mayor of Sahuarita here in the Tucson region. Really excited to be with you this morning. Thanks for being on with us.
Well, thank you for having me in the studio. I always love being with folks,
yes.
Interactive face-to-face, getting a little tired of Zoom and call-in,
right.
So I was really appreciative of your invite to allow me to come into the studio and talk with you. I know we'll hit on a lot of different subjects, but what about those lady cats?
Yeah, we got to start there.
I have to start there. I only agreed to come on if we at least could spend 10
right.
seconds or so.
And I begrudgingly accepted. I said, oh, fine, okay.
Yeah, I know it was one of the subjects you just don't want to hit on and touch on, so I was happy you allowed me to do that.
By the end of last week, Tom Callahan making the magic happen on the other side of the glass every morning here on this show. He's like, won't you just shut up? You're not the sports guy on this station. I know, but I can't help it. This is
Actually, Zach, you are the sports guy on this station.
This is
so
true. I am the last remaining guy who will even go there. But
dabble
I'm just
in it, right?
So proud of the team. Proud of Adia Barnes, proud of what they did. You know, it was disappointing to lose to Stanford, especially in the way it was, you know, by a point. But I said, you know, they beat UConn. To me,
right.
that is a national championship level game. That is, you know, peaking at the summit of college basketball on the women's side.
Absolutely. And full disclosure, you know, I grew up in Connecticut.
Okay.
So that was a tough one for me. But living here for the last 17 years, I consider myself a native Arizona now. But to play a powerhouse, which, you know, I follow, it was actually in Connecticut. It's considered your only professional team is ladies basketball because we don't have a professional team. Everybody's a Red Sox or Celtics or New York
right.
following teams. So they've just been a powerhouse. So to take that on and come so far so quickly, it's good for the university. It's good for sports. It's good for our region. It's good for our city. So, you know, just so proud on how they did it and just always persevered. And to think that on the Final Four promo, they were the only team left out. I that's just hard to imagine or believe, but it just, I think, gave them that extra will and power. And reminding me, being a Celtics fan all my life, that last shot was, you know, so Larry Bird-ish or Magic mm-hmm. Johnson. You know, you go to your go-to person. And,
that's right.
You know, it either drops or it doesn't, but, you know, that's the way to get it done.
Absolutely.
It was a good run.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so tempted. I couldn't make it. I was tempted to go down to the stadium yesterday and just celebrate it, you know. And I think it's a huge thing for this community. I think we really rallied around it. And, you know, I think what I see in Jed Fish, the football coach
Correct.
For the football team, is what I see, you know, the path of Adia Barnes being a really, not just creating a great team, but a great team that was connected to the community.
Right.
And I think that is so huge for Tucson. The only thing I was really disappointed about, I got to give President Robbins props. He was on the show Friday morning before the UConn game. He gave me two predictions. One was that if we hold UConn to under 60,
Correct.
We've got a shot. Boy, he nailed that.
He did.
UConn scored 59. I had listeners texting me and going, wow, he nailed it. And I
right.
go, yeah, that was really good. The other thing he totally bombed on, and President Robbins, if you're listening, both Mayor Murphy and I are a little disappointed.
I was watching for the great lead.
ESPN had its camera at the end of the game. I saw you guys sitting in the stands, and I was waiting for you to vault over.
Absolutely.
And you didn't do it. I was so disappointed.
Absolutely. I had record on just to
yes.
record it for
posterity. I was so ready to go. He did it. He vaulted over. But no, it's but President Robbins, you nailed the prediction. That was fun radio.
Absolutely. Well, it shows you were defense. That was, you know, they've really created a great defense that a lot of times defenses, you know, because mm-hmm. you're if you're out, the height is, you know, they're not a big team. But, you know, hustle and defense can really do it for you. And yeah. he showed that, especially against Stanford in that last game. The last yep. two games, I think they lost by over 20 points, and they come within one. Pretty mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Man. Well, that's our Mayor Murphy and Zach Unplugged.
Absolutely. On a little longer than 30 and, seconds. I apologize.
It's okay. It was inevitable. And as a UConn fan, as a guy from Connecticut, this was their 13th in a row Final Four.
Right.
So
you'll
see everyone next year.
That's right.
It's kind of another year, another Final Four. When we come back, we're going to go to a short break a little early. Here's the story of why Mayor Murphy is here this morning. One of the storylines. I was talking last week about the response from Tucson, Phoenix, and Flagstaff's mayors on Governor Ducey rolling back the mask mandates at a local level. And a listener messaged and said, hey, you're talking about kind of the big cities that always get talked about. But there's a lot of cities and towns where mayors think this is a good idea. You should have one of those mayors on. And so I called Mayor Murphy because I remember seeing you in the paper as someone who went, we're going to let our businesses make these decisions. I'm okay with Governor Ducey's decision. I wanted to hear from you, your thought process, what you're thinking, how it's working in Sahuarita. And we'll start there and wind our way into a bunch of other topics.
Great, but thank you.
When we come back from a short break, that's where we're going to go. We're with the mayor of the town of Sahuarita, Mayor Tom Murphy. We'll be right back here on Tipping Point. Don't go away.
1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens football facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We're back here in the 1030 The Voice studio, sitting down for probably this full hour with Mayor Tom Murphy, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita, just south here of our studio here near South Tucson. The main reason we wanted to have Mayor Murphy on is to talk about really this progression of moving from, you know, a county or a town or city mandate on masks to more of a business-driven approach to it. This is something that Governor Ducey had in his executive order recently. We, of course, know Pima County wants to maintain a mask mandate, as does the city of Tucson. But their surrounding towns and cities have a bit of a different approach. You were quoted this way, Mayor, and I'd love to get your thoughts here in person. In Sahuarita, we're ready to ease restrictions and safely begin the process to returning to normal. Businesses and community members know what it takes to protect one another, and I'm grateful Governor Ducey is following the data, listening to the experts, and encouraging reasonable steps moving forward. That was in print, but yes, you're here in real life, living color. Why are you okay with Governor Ducey's executive order when so many of the cities and county municipalities are not?
Right. And, you know, thanks for the question, Zach. You know, it really, it comes back to a couple of the words that are in there. You know, I think the governor's following the data. Our numbers, thankfully, have plummeted. And I've always, preached practicing safe practices. And I came with a mask. I wore a mask today. But I really have trusted our residents and our business community to do the right thing, which is in their, you know, their best interest. I always talk about restaurants and specifically on how hard they've been hammered. And they always have very thin margins anyways. You know, it's a very tough business to be in. But nobody cares, I don't believe, more than the business owners and the restaurant owners or gym owners to do the right thing. I believe probably the cleanest place to be in currently is probably a gym or a restaurant. When I go out to the different Walmarts, Targets, Home Depots, and you see them packed in there. Fortunately, for the most part, everybody is wearing a mask down in Sahuarita. So even with the lifting of it, I really haven't seen, you know, a major difference. I think there was always the exemptions that you could use, and you know, never were really challenged with those if you have a medical condition or maybe PTSD, you know, for veterans. So I've just, again, trusted our business. I believe more in the education approach as opposed to the mandate approach. And I think our residents through the whole thing have responded willingly to try to protect each other, help each other. We have a very supportive community, very loving community. And I've always trusted, our business sector to do the right thing. As I did before COVID, if you go into a restaurant or store, I've always said if you have a dirty bathroom and the food is cold and all those types of things, people vote and walk with their feet and their wallets. We have a restaurant owner down in our area, both has a restaurant in Sahuarita, Green Valley, and Amato. And he came out and said, you know, if staff and customers want to wear a mask, then they're free to do so. But, you know, I welcome all here, and they're still doing the social distancing. I also worried early on that mask became the all-encompassing, helpfulness, as opposed to, well, if you're not washing your hands and you're not being careful in so many other ways, and most times you see people touching their face, you know, adjusting their mask and things like that. And I've just always, you know, believed that it was a multi-faceted approach. To this, and I think our residents, without these overarching mandates, have responded well, again, kind of from the educational perspective as opposed to the mandate. I just believe you get more sort of with the carrot than the stick. And also there's the whole thing about executive orders and who has control over jurisdictions. You know, we're an incorporated town, and we fall under, we're a subdivision of the state. And then there's the whole dialogue about health codes and those types of things. So I just think that encouraging people, again, supporting our business community and allowing them to do the right thing. Because I could see a restaurant in Green Valley, for instance, just south of us, their average age is about 72. I could see where a business community says it's in my business sense, because we have an older demographic, that I'm going to require, masks. We always support our businesses. You know, the old days, you see you know, no shirt and shoes, no service. You know, you support your businesses to do what's in their best interest. And we've always continued to do that. And I've been very, I think, clear that, you know, it's what's right for our residents, try to educate them, encourage them. That's the right way to go.
The devil's advocate position would be that, because I agree with you, I think even those jurisdictions that have a mask mandate have a hard time being convincing that there is the ability to enforce
right.
those mandates. And so I want to play the devil's advocate position.
Sure.
When I watch mayors being asked this question by reporters, because this is the governor's position, is, well, you're not really enforcing it anyway. And there's a little bit more nuance there
right.
than what the governor is letting on. But that's been the big thing from the state is, you guys can't enforce this anyway, so what's the issue? So I think on one level, can it be enforced? The second is, would it make a difference? I think what we're seeing is most businesses are going to continue with masks, which I think is a good thing. But I'll play the devil's advocate position. If you had a mask mandate in Sahuarita and something went out of control, you would have the ability at a local level to enforce at a greater degree than if you didn't have a mask mandate. What would you say to those mayors who are making that case? Look, this gives us an extra level. We're going to educate first, but having a mask mandate gives us that extra level of protection where we can become a little heavier handed if we want to be. What would you say to that?
Right. And, you know, that would be within their purview to do that. The difficulty would be and I thought about this early on, we're already having difficulties with recruiting police officers and public safety sector of it. And they're very, very busy. And I know the city came out recently with a long list of things that they are not going to be quickly responding to. But then you're going to be asking, because the only enforcement arm you really have for doing this is your police department. So now you are putting one more level of interaction with their citizenry on something that probably is, in my opinion, much lower down on the call list, as opposed to, you know, fraud and domestic violence and those types of things. So I think when you're trying to de-escalate the negative interactions, why would you want to use the only lever you have, your police department? Not again knowing, because remember, most of these always had the exemptions built in to whether you have a medical condition. So a police officer approaches you or me, if they do not see me wearing a mask under this mandate, one, how do they even know that I am not being compliant on it? And is that really what you want them spending their time doing? Especially not knowing the circumstances. So I think there is a perceived higher level of authority, you know, by doing that. But if you're really not going to exercise it, then I think you're being counterproductive. I think we saw a little bit of that with the curfews, that we saw groups of people, once a curfew was putting in place, now gathering together after 10 o'clock yeah. where they wouldn't normally have been gathering together at 10 o'clock. So at the end of the day, was it counterproductive by giving them a platform yeah. or an issue to tackle when they wouldn't have been out on a street corner at 10 o'clock at night, you know, gathering. So
I agree with you. The curfew, I think, it is scientifically, I may get in trouble for this. I'm editorializing. This is not Mayor Murphy. Scientifically, kind of nonsense.
Right.
And not because I'm anti-mitigation. I'm pro-mitigation.
Right.
But, you know, when I'm reading from Mother Jones, not Fox News,
right.
Mayor, but Mother Jones, who actually highlighted Tucson's curfew, which is really bizarre, go, there's not scientific evidence that shows this works. There's just not,
right.
you know, and in fact, it actually shows that when you compress people into a certain period of time and the virus doesn't care whether it's 10 or 2,
right.
You're actually kind of being counterproductive. And so it got me to be thinking, look, if we're going to say science and data drives decisions, let's make sure science and data drives decisions,
right.
even the ones we may not like.
Right.
And be straight about it. And again, I'm pro-mitigation, right? I'm wearing my mask. I urge people to continue wearing masks. COVID is not the flu. blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But let's let the science and data drive things. So,
I agreed on that same perspective that if you're using the Walmart and if they're open 16 hours and they have an average, shopping population of X, and then you compress that down into 8 hours, well, you're still going to need your food and your goods. Yeah. So you're going to go out there and then, you're compressing that time. So I think I agree with you. I think you go in the opposite direction.
Mayor Murphy, we've got about 3 minutes or so. So my last question, and we can always continue this if we need to, but just as a follow-up question, I think the average age in the city of Tucson is 35, 37, something like that. I would wager the average age in Sahuarita and Green Valley, a little older than that. You are a mayor of a community where a lot of residents are that vulnerable population. Thank God many of them have been vaccinated. That's going to help a lot. But do you think your decision making around having a little bit of a lighter hand, not enforcing a mask mandate, does the data validate your decision? Do you think that your community has not been either, more safe or less safe?
I think it does. We get the mayors get up until recently a daily report, but the numbers have dropped so significantly. The county is going to still track it, but they're not going to be sending out a report on a daily basis. And one of the other things they provided us was a dot map, a weekly dot map. And I'm friends with all of our mayors in the local area, but Ed Honey up in Marana, we talk on a regular basis. And one of the things that we observed was Marana took a little bit lighter hand, probably, commensurate with ours. And I can't correlate because of X, Y, and Z that has happened. I would say hopefully because of, again, our residents just complying with the businesses because the businesses ask. I think we have done better. I think you've seen it across the country. Some of the heavy-handedness states, is that a word, heavy-handedness? States, it didn't have you would have thought if these were all the things that could work so significantly, they would be some of the lowest numbers states, and they haven't been. So I think we're going to spend, honestly, Zach, in the way it's hit education and students and all these things, we're going to probably spend the next 10, 20 years on a look back on what was right, what was wrong. But certainly the vulnerable, the older population, thankfully, we are about 80% vaccinated, 65 and older.
Great.
So I think that's good. But our average age in Sahuarita is about 34, 35. And in Green Valley, which I'm not the mayor of, is 72. So I think focusing on what works for what vulnerable populations, obviously we saw what happened with the assisted care living facilities, across the country, and how those were impacted much more greatly. I think one size doesn't fit all on there, but I think what we have done has shown, again, when we get the dot map and Tucson, there was a couple of weeks, almost a month, where it was bright red, and we weren't so much.
Got it. Mayor Murphy, are you able to stay a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
Perfect. We definitely wanted to talk masks and masking and mask mandates. When we come back from the break, maybe we'll talk a little bit about mining.
I love mining.
School districts, border. We'll see what we get into. We're with Mayor Murphy for the next few minutes. Don't go away.
Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. We're sitting down for the full hour with Mayor Tom Murphy, Mayor of Sahuarita, just south of where we're airing live. The mayor is in studio with us, and that's a pleasure. We started the hour. A listener commented, I think, on my Friday show, hey, you've talked to Tucson, City of Tucson, City of Phoenix, City of Flagstaff. Their response to the governor's rollback, shall we say, of local mask mandates, which Tucson and Pima County have said we have the right. Flagstaff has as well. Phoenix has been weirdly quiet, either because they don't think they have the right to buck the governor on this, or Mayor Gallego is doubtful she has council support. We'll actually find out today what the answer is. Oh, they have a city council meeting. So anyway, I was talking about that, and a listener messaged in and goes, hey, we don't hear from the cities and towns in Arizona, in Southern Arizona, who are pro this, who are okay with what the governor did. You should have those guys and gals on. And I went, that's a great idea. I try to cover all the angles on the show. And so I called you, Mayor Murphy, and you were gracious enough to come on after a long weekend. So we started there. We talked about your philosophy on masks and mask mandates. I want to cover a couple other regional topics while we have you here. Drilling exploration efforts by Hudbay Minerals, owner of the proposed Rosemont Mine, have discovered four copper deposits that could bring several open pit mining projects within view of Green Valley and Sahuarita. Tell us about that. We may know about as much as you do at this point. I don't know. It's a recent announcement, but
it is.
Tell us about that, and what's the response so far?
Absolutely. It is a recent announcement. I think they named it Copper World. Okay. On this side, which I thought, but you know, we are the copper state.
Sounds like an amusement park.
It does.
But, you know, and, we'll let it go.
But we are the copper state. It's one of our C's, five C's. And you know, I've been a supporter of the project when it was Augusta, and then when it went up to Hudbay, because I think our precious minerals and copper, in particular, you know. We need it. You see the federal infrastructure bill, they're talking about potentially putting 500,000 recharging stations and, you know, solar initiatives, electric vehicle initiatives. And I think it takes 10 times more copper in an electric vehicle than a regular vehicle. So, you know, we can want not to ever see it or have it impact our lives. But if we think it's important, copper is where it is, under the ground. I think it was 70 million years ago, you know, it was, you know, formed in on the Santa Rita's down in that area. So honestly, they wouldn't have been drilling and doing the exploratory drilling on that side of the mountain if their other project, Rosemont, which is on the other side, had been moving forward. They spent $100 million in the permitting process, almost 14 years worth of time in this permitting process, longer than both World War and World War One and Two put together took. 1,000 studies with 17, 18 cooperating agencies, governmental agencies, to get through the permitting process, which they completed in 2019, and they were actually going to start clearing the utility corridor, and they had actually brought in some buildings down in Sahuarita to start this process. And then after all of this time, all of this money, one federal judge you know, put a kibosh on it, at least from the interim. So, you know, I don't blame them for, after all this time, having to look at other areas that they own to do drilling. But this is early, early on. All of this 14 years and the $100 million that they've done, all the environmental impact statements, studies that they've had to do, they're going to have to go through that same process for this particular project. But they had to be doing something why they've been slowed down. So they did some core drilling to see what was on the other side of property that is all privately owned, where they needed help with the Forest Service on the other side for putting some of their mine tailing deposits. And I just think, in whether it's mass mandates or mining or anything else, you just have to have processes. I always hear from my private development community friends, they just need some sense of continuity. Just give me the rules of the road. We'll comply, you know, whatever they are, but don't keep moving the goalpost and changing the rules as we keep, you know, going on. They've spent probably $25 million. Mm-hmm. The CAP water line ends on Pima Mine Road. That's our northern boundary.
Oh, okay.
So they've been working over the past few years and spent $25 million to bring the CAP water line with community water down into the Sal Rita Green Valley area. So even though they're allowed to purchase acre feet of water for their mine in other areas in our active management area, they've committed to actually recharging the water back into the aquifer, the local aquifer, that they're going to actually be drilling, you know, pulling out and drilling into. So, you know, it's a 21st Rosemont. It's a 21st century mine based on reclamation, 100% of recharging water. So I always just want, you know, a level playing field, you know, fair game. I think a lot of misinformation. You can disagree with the project at the end of the day, but hopefully you'll disagree based on the facts and not for sort of misleading information that I think has been putting out there. I always get a kick because, you know, I'll see some stickers down in our area, you know, opposed to open pit mining, and it's on the back of a Prius. So I just sort of get an interesting chuckle that, you know, we need copper. We have to have copper. I just don't want it to impact my life. But if everybody felt that way throughout the United States and the world, we wouldn't have all of these things. And we've seen through the pandemic how precarious our supply chain is. And when that's disrupted, because we're too dependent on overseas, assistance and products, that it can be very negatively impactful to us. So again, we're the copper state. If you abide by the rules and you go through your whole permitting process, or if you don't agree with the process, then change the process. You know, again, whether it be on mandates or voting or anything else, but just saying I don't like it and ignoring it or making it more difficult, I just don't think is fair to the business community.
We're with the mayor of Sal Rita, the town of Sal Rita, this morning, Mayor Tom Murphy. I want to take our last segment and talk about regionalism. I think there's been a 2-3 decade kind of legacy of regionalism, and I've started to wonder if there is a trend shifting away from that. I want to get your thoughts as one of the mayors of a local municipality in our greater Tucson region. Before we go to our last break, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, you're about, was it 15 miles closer to the southern border?
Yes.
Than we are right now. Sal Rita has often hosted conversations around border and border security. You know, a lot of people said, you know, the governor went down to the wall and did a press conference, but the real issues are really Ajo and Yuma. Some say we've got a huge problem bubbling up. Some say it's being overblown, as we often overblow on the border. You're a mayor. You're the closest municipal mayor, I think, in our region to the border. What are you hearing? What are you seeing as the Biden administration tries to figure out how to respond adequately to the border situation?
Yeah, no, I definitely think, and again, we've had offline conversations that if you can't agree to what your problem is, it's much harder to get to a solution. And to think, to watch some of the videos and pictures that have come out, to say things are not different, or we're not in a challenging situation, is, I think, just being blind to it. And, you know, it's been challenging. We've there's a couple of Facebook blogs, sites that, you know, we follow locally. And there has been an uptick on, there's a train that comes three or four times a day down from Mexico, bringing Ford products. And I think it actually brings all the Corona beer, most of it up to the United States. And, but there's been an uptick on folks jumping off the train. And, you know, kind of running off into the pecan fields. So I really do feel for our border mayors. I think I saw the mayor of Gila Bend on the other day, and he was just saying that, you know, we don't have the facilities. I don't think have even a food bank down there. And to, again, following the science and the data, and you're seeing, you know, these poor children, you know, sort of lined up like cordwood, you know, next to each other, and obviously violating all of the mask mandate, social distancing protocols. I think it, for a large degree, it was some of the executive orders that were signed has created either a perception of the reality that, you know, just get here and we'll take care of you, has put a lot of stresses. I think much more so, like you said, Yuma and others that are literally right across the border. But I think it's a challenging situation. If we can't even agree that we're struggling with it, then I think it's going to be much harder to come up with the solutions. So I think, you know, we have to at least start there. But no, I am concerned about it, and it's going to tax. I think they're spending $1,000 a day. You know, to house the folks and things, and obviously we're a very compassionate nation, but it goes back to proper processes and procedures. You know, there's a way. We're a very welcoming country. We have immigrants coming every single day, but I also think about, you know, the folks that have waited sort of in the line and done it properly. Also concerned about, there's so much. We have a large contingent of Border Patrol that live in our community. Because we're sort of in between Nogales and the Tucson sector by the base. And they're spending literally all of their time now processing people as opposed to try to interdicting the drugs and, you know, the really bad folks, you know, that are probably, you know, sneaking down the line, you know, over why they're, you know, being taxed. I know they're undermanned, they're overworked, and it's just not fair of to ask them to be doing this.
Yeah. Mayor Murphy, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita, I addressed this issue a couple of weeks ago, and I explained my allergy to spin and swarm. If I see MSNBC or Fox News, all of a sudden, you know, 8/10 of the day is spent just recycling conversations on an issue, I get automatically suspicious. I don't care who it is or what issue. And so I've been trying to dig in and go, what is that thing we agree on? Maybe we disagree on the policy to solve it. But in my mind, we have a challenge at the border.
Right.
I won't even use the crisis word.
Right.
It's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Let's all agree that it's just not the way it's supposed to be. And then we can figure out the policy from there. To me, there's nothing wrong with saying we have a problem.
Right.
It doesn't, it can indict somebody, but it doesn't really indict you to say, well, this didn't go the way it was supposed to. Let's figure it out and solve it. There's a book, What If the World Was Run by Mayors? I love the sentiment. What if pragmatic people who deal with these issues on the ground and not, you know, in Senate hearings on C-SPAN or on MSNBC and Fox, who their only job was to give a great soundbite? What if folks on the ground actually ran the policy?
Well, we're the locals level that when it's dumped in our lap, we just have to figure it out.
That's right.
At that point, whether it's roads
or
border issues or anything else, we just, you know, we're the closest to the people, and we just have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I just think we need to be.
Yeah. Mayor Murphy, we're covering a lot of ground. When we come back, I talked on Friday about this sense. I can't quite put my finger on it. I'm doing a lot of listening and learning. Tucson has had a legacy 2 or 3 decades long of kind of a regionalism together. And there's a couple of hints that I'm picking up that maybe that is being challenged, that regional approach to governance is being challenged in a way that we haven't seen in a while. I'm gonna get your thoughts on that if you're willing, Mayor Murphy.
Great.
Especially when it comes to the RTA and a couple of other things. So we got one more segment to go with the mayor. We'll be right back this Tuesday morning with you here on Tipping Point. Don't go anywhere.
Tucson Station for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more. It's a new year, and if you're like me and my family, we're thinking a lot about our financial plan for 2021. Savings, reducing debt, growing wealth, planning for the future, it's a lot, and often really confusing. If that's you too, give Jason Robinson at MassMutual a call to set up a plan for your money that meets your goals. Jason and his team have decided to reduce their fees during this first quarter to make sure that anyone who wants a strategy and accountability can get it. Call 274-3749 to get started and tell them Zach at Tipping Point sent you.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We're back in the studio with Mayor Tom Murphy, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. We've talked about mask mandates. We've talked about the border. We've talked about the new discovery of four copper deposits on the other side of the Santa Rita's within view of Green Valley and Sahuarita. I want to close the show by getting your thoughts. You've been a part of these regional conversations at large, but specifically with the Regional Transportation Authority and the RTA Next being proposed on Thursday. I have Supervisor Rex Scott and Councilmember Paul Cunningham from the City of Tucson on at the same time to talk about these opposing viewpoints on what we do about water. Since the 70s, Mayor, the county's been doing sewer, the city's been doing water, and all of a sudden there's this, I wouldn't call it a water war, but some would, all of a sudden, amidst all the challenges we have this discussion now driven by the City of Tucson on, well, maybe we charge, you know, unincorporated folks a little bit more money. The county's not happy about it. The city, I think, is heading in that direction for better or for worse. There used to be a more regional approach to understanding, look, we rise and fall as a region. And I'm getting some hints. I don't know about you, Mayor, that maybe we're starting to become a little bit more internally focused at our own jurisdictions, whether it is roads or transportation or water. You've been at this game in those seats for a long time, Mayor. Is my sense onto something or not?
No, I would agree. Serving on the Pima Association of Governments and RTA, I think there probably is some concern, but a lot of it will be whether, you know, us as elected leaders, you know, continue to work together to solve regional problems, because most of it, whether it's, you know, roads, transportation, bus pullouts, sidewalks, water, sewer, you know, these are regional issues. And I think we always will have a choice whether we want to go it alone or as a regional, from a regional perspective. One of the things serving on PAG-RTA I've always been appreciative over the years is, you know, yes, we come with our hat representing our local community, but when we serve on PAG-RTA, we try to check that hat at the door and then come in from a regional approach. Back in 2006, when the RTA was first approved, they spent 400 public outreach meetings on putting this plan together. There were 15 years in. We've already spent $1.3 billion of hopefully expected around $2 billion of half-cent sales tax collection. And I guess people can try to go on their own, but I look at us as a, you know, we're part of a region, which is part of a mega region. So, it, you know, about a million people down here, and we're already sort of up against Phoenix, which is, you know, pushing 5 million people. So I think to have a voice at the state legislature, ADOT, and those areas, I think it's very important for us to be communicating as one entity. Doesn't mean we have to always agree on 100% of the issues, but at the end of the day, when the regional board says this is what we think we should be doing, I think it's a much clearer message that gets sent to the state on what our region thinks. If you have Mayor Murphy calling saying, well, this is what we want, and the city calling and other municipalities calling, including the two nations, Pasquayaki and Tohono O'odham, belong to PAG, it makes it much more confusing, I think, to the state on who's saying what and who's really speaking. So I think it's, you know, very important as we move to the RTA next on how we come together. You know, they've completed, I think, 875 projects so far. And basically, it's been promises made, promises kept. You know, obviously, when you're 15 years deep into it, there's probably things in look back, you go, oh, I wish we had maybe included that or this, or the scope changes. But I think what's really held us soundly is this is really has been the people's project. This was the, you know, voted on by the people. It was put together by the Citizen Advisory Committee. It was from the ground up, which I think was very important. You can ask all of us as elected officials what we think is important and what we think we should focus on. But then we have to go to the voters. So if I haven't communicated with Zach and Zach doesn't understand why this is important, or more importantly, wasn't even involved in the process, why would you want to take your hard-earned money and vote for another half-cent sales tax to complete these regional projects? So I think the how we go about it, you know, is very important. And I think the success came from that ground up. And, you know, we submit our projects what we think our cities and towns would like, and then that gets turned over to the CAC to, you know, talk about it. Because if we don't all feel we're getting our sort of our fair share, then it's very hard for us to go to our local voters and say why it's important. Also, we're not islands. You know, the Sahuarita, a lot of our folks live out or work outside of our community.
Right.
So if the unincorporated roads are in disrepair, that affects the residents of Sahuarita. Mm-hmm. You know, we are on a really good plan to have all of our roads in very good and excellent condition, which is fine, but we're 30 square miles in our town. And if you go virtually northwest, east or south, we're in unincorporated, you know, Pima County or in ADOT roads. So, you know, it is very important, you know, how the condition of our region. Also, from an economic development standpoint, you know, the two things, you know, working with Sun Corridor and other groups, the two things that we hear from outside people, for instance, is sort of the state of education in Arizona, which we could spend another 5 hours on, and the condition of our roads. So whether we land something or not as a region really does come down to all of us, you know, working together. But again, I think if it's not driven from the ground up and it's only driven by electeds, it's much, much harder, I think, to get something accomplished. Now, it is a way we can go, but, you know, early on, both Mayor Walkup, you know, rest in peace, and Ramon Valadez, who had served with me on PAG for a very long time, and the early formation of it, they were really strong proponents of, you know, one representation, one vote. You know, we didn't get into, well, I'm 32,000 residents and Oro Valley is 50-something thousand in the city. So if we're not thinking of it from a regional perspective and we're going to divide and sort of conquer, I think it's going to be much harder to move forward. And goodness knows, water and sewer.
Huge.
So, you know, huge. So I'll have my popcorn ready for your show on Thursday for, you know, listening how the county and the city comes from it. But again, if we start, you know, getting down to where we're going to charge this for that and, you know, not see water, especially in Arizona, as really that important for development and the future of growth, because growth is really what has led us, you know, into our future.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Tom Murphy, mayor of the town of Sahuarito, we were talking during the break about how this is the kind of radio that we enjoy, kind of these deeper dive topics. We spent an hour together. We hope our listeners have enjoyed it. I'd love to do this again with you. There's so much that we didn't get into, but thanks for your deep dive on a variety of topics and for your voice in the region.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Mayor Murphy, thank you. We'll do this again soon. Today is a big day for both the county and the city as it relates to everything from public safety to water. Tomorrow, we'll have Vice Mayor Nikki Lee from the city of Tucson to really share about what happens today at today's study session and city council meeting. So stay with us here on Tipping Point on this station tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week. It's goodbye from us for now. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Stay safe out there, Tucson. Thanks for listening.